Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time with this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Breathe in, breathe out. Never mind. It was time. Number nine. Let the lies. Feline. With a death wish. Be right. Didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on. We're destined.
So we had a couple big deals go down over the last couple of days in the NFL as week one approaches, or at least game day for these teams who are in the middle of week one right now. Christian Gonzalez got his money, and then Baker Mayfield got his money, which will be disappointing for some who were eyeing Baker as a potential replacement, whether it be in this town or other spots. There was someone who was at our listener party, a listener appreciation party that we did at St. Arnold, who was a member of the station, not on air staff, who was very vocal about wanting CJ out of here. Like, to the point where me and Sean, who were at the table, were like, she needs a podcast, but we can't be associated with it because she says some stuff that we can't be associated with. She was, I ain't going to give the name. You guys most likely wouldn't know her anyway. She's part of our sales staff, but she's been a fan of the Texans since their existence began. She had an 02 Texans jersey. Remember those jerseys that they gave out to people when they first came into existence? It was 02.
I don't remember that because I was born then.
Yeah, exactly. It had 02 on it to commemorate the year of their first NFL season. She has that thing. She said, I would wear this before I'd ever wear a Stroud jersey. I'm not going to wear one. She was looking at Baker as the guy. Like, keep having those contract issues and let's hope he's available. Look, the Texans already gave CJ his fifth-year option, so that was going to be unlikely anyway. But she wanted him here. Not going to happen. Baker set a deadline. I think he set that deadline for training camp. And at training camp's beginning, he was not going to talk a contract extension anymore with the Bucks. Well, when they come correct with $55 million per year, you'll start talking contract. So Baker gets 3 years, an average of $55 million per year to stay with the Bucks. So he's off the table. Baker's getting paid like some of the other quarterbacks you don't think are great but got their money, like Trevor Lawrence. He's among that class. And so he doesn't get, oh, he's the next guy open, so, or at least next guy with the deal coming up, so he gets top of the market money. He gets the money that some of the guys from the last couple of years have gotten. Whether you think Baker's an elite quarterback or not, he's being paid like at least a tier two quarterback, top eight-ish or so quarterback. So, off the board. Will the Bucks live to regret it? He needs a better year than he had last year. We'll see if Chris Godwin has anything left, and hopefully for them, Abuka stays healthy. While the 49ers certainly have been cursed, the Bucks receivers have had their issues staying healthy. So, off the board. By the way, that sales staff person has a brother who plays for SMU. She told us about it at the party. So I was watching them play against Florida State, a game that SMU certainly had in hand until they started turning the ball over, muffed the punt, missed some field goals, threw a couple picks that gave Florida State some life, but they're able to hold on. So I don't know what his draft prospects are. That is a Lance Zierlein question. But his last name is Kilgore, number 23 for SMU. So the station has a connection with SMU football more than SMU Sonny, one of our callers. SMU has a real shot to to make that ACC title game. Miami's the favorite. Didn't do anything to dissuade people from that with their first game, but the rest of that conference is open. You got Pittsburgh and their quarterback, Mason Heinsohn, and what he did against Miami of Ohio, and Virginia, what they did to NC State to open up the year. Duke's a little different now. They don't have Mensah. He's at Miami. They lost their best receiver to Miami as well. But we saw SMU. At their best, they look like an ACC contender, but you saw some of their flaws. Had a little issue stopping the run, and they got to get those turnovers in check. That four of them in one game. Somehow they still won because FSU stinks. Pretty happy about that, honestly. Speaking of FSU, let's get to Keith. He's a Florida State fan. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Not an FSU fan. They're just my pick back in 23.
Oh, okay.
But I want to talk about what a huge, huge, huge disappointment Oklahoma State was. Like, their teams look bad this weekend. Rutgers, Michigan, you know, a ton of other teams. Oregon looked bad early on, obviously. But Oklahoma State looked the worst of any single team this week, with a new coach, a quarterback who's supposed to be above average to sort of good, 80 new players, and they got Tulsa, who's in their own state, I believe. I don't even know where Tulsa is. But
it's in Oklahoma.
And they get completely dominated by Tulsa. Like, is the American Conference still a thing? Oklahoma State? Like, they should just bring Mike Gundy back if they're going to have this type of performance. Like, this is a team that's supposed to win 9 games. They may win 0 games. How are they this bad? Like, what happened? Even Michigan with the extra time on the clock looked better than them. This is unbelievable. I need Tyreek Hill to go to the Ravens to make me feel better. Also, I wouldn't mind Darius Slayton. Thanks, Del.
Yeah, you want another Oklahoma State connection with Tyreek Hill. Well, you had them at 9-3, so this is you turning on your pick. They did bring in a lot of players from North Texas. Drew Messmaker, the quarterback, Caleb Hawkins, the running back, Wyatt Young, the receiver. They were the big three at North Texas, and now they come to Oklahoma State and get beat even worse than Tulsa beat Oklahoma State last year. That game was at Oklahoma State in Stillwater, and Tulsa beat them by, I think, by one score, this time by two scores, 24-10. What's the problem? You can't run the football. Look, Caleb Hawkins didn't have a bad day. He had the 18 carries, but you weren't really moving Tulsa around, and then Drew Messmaker looked terrible. I would not be surprised if I just go through his game logs if that was the worst game of his college career. He was only 29-49, threw a couple picks in that one. If you can't run the football, it's going to be tough. And if people know you can't run the football, they can lock down no matter how good your quarterback is. So if I go through what happened for him last year, North Texas won 11 games. Drew Messmaker was our quarterback last year. He had a game where he threw 3 picks against USF, so, and then Tulane. So USF had a nice start to the year. They were ranked at the time. And then Tulane was ranked at the time too. That was the American Championship that they lost. So, against the best teams he's played, he has struggled. I don't know where Tulsa falls in that. They're not a Big 12 team. They're in the American. But he has shown in his young career that as a competition, the athletes get better, the performances drop. Tulsa probably shouldn't have added to that list, but it did. And that is a rivalry they play every year. Oklahoma State does have a wins advantage, but Tulsa has more wins than you think. They've been playing since like the 1910s, I think. So that's a rivalry in Oklahoma. And Tulsa's gotten them 2 years in a row now, and they alternate from year to year, Stillwater and Tulsa. Sorry, Keith. Doesn't look like you're going to have a repeat of your Vanderbilt stuff. It'd be like that sometimes. You can't win them all. And I think that Vanderbilt one is worth 4 more years of being wrong, considering no one was with you, this show, the morning show included, having them win 10 games. You can live off of that for a little bit. You can eat off of that for a while. If I were you, I would have quit when I was ahead. Anytime anyone questioned me about something, I had Vanderbilt winning 10 games. Did you have one winning 10 games? Because now, if Oklahoma State goes on and wins 4 games, almost wipes away your Vanderbilt stuff to be so wrong a year after you were so right. Should have just stuck with, hey, I was a big Diego Pavia guy before many of you were. And you would have been good. Now you got to depend on Messermaker to figure some things out. We'll see about that. Let's get to Pena here before we go to break. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dale? I wanted to talk about the defensive coordinator, how they're pretty much like, I don't think they're bashing him, but they're saying that, oh, the Texans just are pretty basic. I don't think we're basic. I think we're more than basic. I think we got dogs everywhere, not just hammers. Like Lassiter, Bullock. Like he was just known for being a bog and not pretty good at tackling. Now he's pretty good at tackling. Like these guys are coaching them to be better players. So screw the mainstream media. Like those guys suck. And today, how do you like Darnold to throw one interception and AJ Brown to score one touchdown? Thank you. Have a great day.
I'll talk about that in a little bit because it coincides with something I'm going to get to before we go to break. So I'll get to that, Pena. Yes, if you missed it, this drumbeat has been building about the Texans are a great defense, but they don't do a lot of things. And you can credit the Texans for understanding that you got great players. You don't have to be as complicated as others because you got dogs everywhere. And I will say, every time they talk about this defense being simplistic, then they go on and compliment the players because of how great they are. But if you are a coordinator and believe you're not just simply telling those guys to line up and play cover three, you got little tweaks and things you do to make it difficult on opponents, you would want people to stop saying, yeah, you just put them out there and they go make plays, which is part of it. I talked about it. Name a great defense that didn't have great players, particularly at the highest levels of football, whether it be Power Four or the NFL. Not many defenses can be what the Texans have been without having great players. It's unfortunate, as it stands now, that the people coordinating the defense aren't getting as much credit as, say, as I mentioned before, Mike McDonald, because he has the label of defensive genius. But while the Texans are out there doing almost identical things and in some ways better, the stats vary between who's one and two, at least in 2025. No credit's been being given. Nah, you just got great players and they go do great things. It's tough. But at the end of the day, if you go win a title, if you do something you've never done before, go get to the AFC title game, your accolades will come. I've talked about it a little bit that the offense is the reason this defense won't go down in history. Because you don't name great defenses who get knocked out in divisional rounds. That's not how it goes. The Texans don't even really have a name. I mean, they have an attitude. We know Swarm, but they're not called the Swarm defense. Great defenses get a nickname. Legion of Boom. Of course,
Big Hits All Day.
Yeah, Big Hits All Day. I'm for that, but you got to, Kamara, you got to make sure that catches on. I think it's a better name than the Swarm defense, but whatever. You got to win big. If you win big, even if you don't win a Super Bowl, like we're going back to the old school, like the Purple People Eaters of the Vikings, that defense never won a Super Bowl, but they got the Super Bowls. Part of it is accomplishing something to make you memorable. And it would be very unfortunate whether you think this defense is simplistic or they do more complicated things than they're being given credit for. If they don't get the recognition for what they are capable of and what they do because the offense lets them down. Team sport, man. You got to have your quarterback show up when it matters. And he will get his money if he does that. And then we can start talking about this defense historically. Because we can talk about them in the moment. But they will kind of be forgotten historically. If it's, hey, look at that. You lost 24-17. To the Broncos in the divisional round because your quarterback couldn't come through. If that's the continuing theme for this era of Texas football over the next couple of years, we'll talk fondly of them. Hell, people still talk about picks, of course, by J.J. Watt in playoff games, but historically, it'll be forgotten. Just how it is. Eric, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to join us? 713-780-3776. Pena mentioned who I like as far as who's going to throw a pick tonight, who's going to score a touchdown tonight. Well, if you feel pretty good about something, you know where you can go. You can go to Fliff. That's the app that makes football more exciting, more fun, because they give you more opportunities to enjoy the game that you already love. It's back. Football season will begin on the NFL level tonight, and you can make picks on all the biggest matchups, whether it be in player performances, whether it be A.J. Brown and touchdowns or Sam Darnold and picks. That's all there for you. With Fliff, you can play for free every day with free Fliff coins and your bonus daily dollar. And if you want to level up, you can also purchase Fliff coins and receive Fliff cash as a bonus on every purchase. That's F-L-I-F-F. Download that app wherever you get your apps. So if you are following your favorite team like the Texans, or you're just locking in on tonight's game because it's a primetime game, it's the first game of the season, Fliff does add that extra layer of excitement to the game. And football is even better when you have something riding on every drive. You know, for games you don't care about on Saturdays and Sundays, you guys pay attention because you've got something riding on it. Fliff gives you that opportunity and more, because every touchdown, interception, and big play becomes more exciting. You're rooting hard, but you could be rooting harder by fliffing. That's right. We're making that a word. Fliffing. New players can receive up to 250 extra bonus Fliff cash. You can download Fliff and use promo code DELSHOW, that's D-E-L SHOW, to get started. Play for free every day with free Fliff coins, or purchase Fliff coins and receive extra bonus Fliff cash on every purchase every day. You get those huge daily boosts and feature picks every day as well. Download Fliff now. Fliff around and find out. That's F-L-I-F-F, Fliff. Must be 18 plus. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited and restrictions apply. See terms of use for eligibility at getfliff.com and full promotion rules. Fliff, Inc.
ESPN 97.5.
When you're craving scratch-made food, 29-degree draft beer, and the best seat in the house for every game, there's only one place to go, Twin Peaks. From juicy burgers and smokehouse wings to ice-cold brews served by the friendliest team around, Twin Peaks is your ultimate sports lodge. Wall-to-wall TVs means you never miss a moment. So grab your crew and head to Twin Peaks, where the views are great, the food hits hard, and the beer is always colder than your ex's heart. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
It's a Saturday night showdown. Houston, we need you there. The Cougars take on Southern University. Saturday night, September 12th. Kickoff is at 6 at TDECU Stadium for First Responders Night. Celebrating the heroes who keep our community safe. Come cheer on Willie Fritz and the Cougars and bring the noise. Get your tickets now at uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. Come early. Be loud. We're red.
St. Arnold, they have a beer for everyone. They also have a space for everyone. Lance Erline here. If you're planning a wedding, company party, or birthday bash, St. Arnold has a space for you. For events with 20 to 300 people, choose the cozy Investors Pub or the spacious beer hall. Enjoy fresh St. Arnold beer, plus wine, cider, root beer. Their in-house chef creates everything from appetizers to full feasts. Book your holiday party now for prime dates. Visit StArnold.com, click private events. Make sure you go to StArnold.com, click private events.
Hey, if you're looking for a new favorite spot to watch the game in Houston, you need to check out Good Game Sports Club in the Heights. We're talking happy hour until 7 o'clock every day and all day on Tuesdays. Monday is industry night with drink specials. Wednesday is Wing Wednesday, half price wings. And when the Astros are playing, it's Dollar Dog time. Get your Dollar Dogs here. And every Saturday, come on out and hang out with me. Kicking it with Kunkel live at Good Game Sports Club in the Heights.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Pena asked about props for the game tonight. I think he asked, will A.J. Brown catch a touchdown? Will Sam Darnold throw an interception? If we go by Sam Darnold in the regular season, it's a good bet. But if you use his playoffs as a jumping off point for this year, then don't do it. Don't turn the ball over in the playoffs. But it's a regular season, so maybe say yes. As far as A.J. Brown and touchdowns, the Seahawks finished, I think, seventh in touchdowns given up. The Texans were a little bit ahead of them there. So they don't give up many. I think they gave up 20 all year last year. Drake May threw a couple in the Super Bowl, one as the game was over. He threw one late to Ramondre Stevenson, hit Matt Collins with one. A.J. Brown, first game, they're probably going to try to feed him. I don't do props, at least not without really thinking of it, and I've only had a couple minutes. Pena, don't take anything I say with any real solidified research behind it. It's your money, man. You probably have done more research on it than I have. You know you don't come to this show for props. What do I look like? I'm not a degenerate. Let's get to Eric here. He wants to join us. What's up, Eric?
You know, I know AJ's a big Cowboys fan, but not as big as you and I.
No,
why
you.
Why did Tyler Smith wait to the beginning of the season to get his thumb surgery? Now he's out 2 to 4 weeks. He could have handled this earlier this year. And also, a good name for the Texans defense. I would say they're riding dirty defense. They got this big D coming down your throat.
Whoa, whoa.
We're coming right up your alley.
Whoa.
Pause. Or it could be the Bumblebee.
Whoa, whoa.
The Bumblebee is good, too. You can go for listen.
Wow. That's a lot. I wasn't even a real fan of the riding dirty defense. But then you added that other thing, which certainly takes it to a level where no matter what I think of it, if anyone decides to name the Texans defense a riding dirty defense, I'm never going to forget the last part you added. So I'm out on that one. I'm out. As far as Tyler Smith, that bothers fans. I get it. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of it. Was he always dealing with this and he thought he could play through it and he just decided, you know what, I can't, so I'm just going to get the surgery? Do you know any more about this? Because I just saw it and go, okay, training camp, it happens, he's hurt.
There are some reports like saying basically that, I mean, it was fine in Oxnard. I mean, it was something that they thought he could have played through, but when they got back to Frisco, essentially, like, it's something that kind of lingered a little bit more, and they just wanted God to get ahead of it. So I look at it as, like, better now than later type of thing. I mean, he's an all-pro guard, so, I mean, yeah. Hey, if he misses the first four games, sucks, but, I mean, I think it'll be okay.
So is the Texans game within that 4 weeks?
Yeah, it is. It's the fourth week.
So are you now more regretting your bet?
Not necessarily. I mean, obviously, TJ Bass isn't Tyler Smith, but he did rank 31 in terms of, like, all qualified guards being, what, 64 in PFF last year because he started 5 games. So, I mean, I think that they'll be all right. I mean, for the Cowboys, I mean, they know how to develop O-linemen. Like, this would be more of a problem for Texans, for example. But I think that they'll be all right, especially from a run game standpoint, too.
Yeah, the Texans brought in a couple guys who were ranked a little bit lower.
From the Cowboys, too, and we were going to cut them. So.
Yeah, Thomas. Nate Thomas. But yeah. even like a Wyatt Teller was ranked below the guy you just Bass. He was ranked below him by PFF. So they've had certainly their issues finding guys, and we'll see if the Evan Brown, Trent Brown duo plus the other three can put a competent unit together and then go out and win some football games. So I'm just reading through some of the stuff on Tyler Smith. As you said, he attempted to play through the injury, but he and the club came to that realization that surgery would be needed. So he'll repair that ligament tear. They were trying to figure out a way to maybe what best way to protect the joint and let him play through it, but they decided, hey, you know what? He doesn't have the grip strength that he normally would have, and it would just be best to get this taken care of. I don't know. So he had a surgery to clean up his knee. So Eric, he did take care of some things in the offseason. He did that in February. I just don't know exactly when this injury occurred. We just know that they tried. He couldn't play through it. They figured, put him on IR. Let's get this thing out of the way so he'll be back for the bulk of the season. And the Cowboys, I mentioned the Texans game because AJ and John have a bet about a mustache that one will have to wear if it goes the way they don't want. It's Giants, Commanders, Ravens, Texans. The Giants have put some assets in, whether it be draft picks or money, into the defense, but that's on the road. Then you have the Commanders at home. You should be 2-0.
I agree.
You should get through the first two, and we'll see what the Ravens look like under Minter. But there's a chance, and people feel good about this Cowboys team. I don't know how that makes you feel, but they feel good about this team this year. They could be 3-0 coming to Houston. In fact, I won't say they should. You know, Lamar Jackson's on the other side. But if their defense is even somewhat competent, just not flat out awful, and they've switched out coordinator, they've got new players across the board. If they are an average defense combined with that offense, whatever happens in the playoffs is a different story.
Yeah.
But that's a team that can get back to that Mike McCarthy. I'll win 12 games in the regular season, compete for the division, and then the playoffs. Sure, there'll be something embarrassing that happens, but at least we won our 12 games. So I think they could do that this year. I think they can get off the schedule set up to get off to a 2-0 start, and then we'll see what the Ravens are, and then the Texans and the Bucks and the Packers and the Eagles. So it gets tough, but
I mean, that's the thing about like the whole like stigma of something embarrassing is going to happen. I think that a lot of print fans, especially this offseason, they appreciate the process of like how they've attacked, you know, hiring a new staff and how shoddy has really imprinted the culture. And everyone talks about how quiet the offseason.
Look at you.
What is that?
Look at you calling him shoddy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey.
He's Brian Schottenheimer. Well, I'm not. He doesn't coach my team, so I just call him Brian Schottenheimer.
Right.
But that was a hire that people were like, really?
At first.
You're doing that? You're doing that? But not all great hires were looked at as great when they happened.
Right.
You look at
Dan Campbell.
Yeah. One of the clear ones where it was like, what are you guys doing? And Dan Campbell, somewhat prophetic too. You remember when after they lost the title game, the 49ers, where they had he goes, hey, I don't know why we talk about next year. You guys having all these flowery words about next year. There's no guarantee we'll get back to this point. And so far,
right.
They have not come close. So not only a surprisingly good head coach, but also a bit of a prophet when it comes to how the NFL works. So we'll see if the Lions can get back on track in their second year without Ben Johnson as their OC. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Eric, I guess. A little too much from you today, I think, but we always appreciate the call. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Me and AJ till noon, and then it'll be the bullpen out at Knicks, followed by Jeremy and Joe. We will be back.
Jeremy and Joe.
People are like, well, Brandon, you don't know anything about quarterbacking, even though I was once a college quarterback, 1-7 intramurals, brother. Yeah, what a great year. The next year we went 6-2, but I no longer play quarterback.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So as we were talking about the NFL in the last segment, Art tweeted us this map of the league, or at least the country, excuse me, based off of support for particular teams in the state. So, for example, in Missouri and Kansas, the team that those states want most win Super Bowl are the Chiefs, according to DraftKings. I don't know how scientific this is. Did they do it by the bets they got in the state for teams winning the Super Bowl? I don't know. But it kind of makes a lot of sense. Okay, that area, Nebraska, Kansas City, Missouri, or excuse me, Kansas, Missouri, all root for Kansas City to make the Super Bowl and win it. Let's say, for example, the Pacific Northwest, Washington and Oregon both have Seattle as the team most rooted for to win the Super Bowl. California, you got multiple teams. Despite what their stadium looks like on most Sundays, the Rams are the team most rooted for to win. Tough Arizona, that the Rams also have Arizona as well. So I think that might be the one state where there's actually a team in the state, but a team from out of state is getting more support. You get it. The Cardinals are supposed to be bad. In Texas, who would you guess? Who would you guess has the most support? Not the best odds, the most support to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Texans?
It is the Texans.
Yeah.
In the state of Texas, more people are rooting for the Texans to win the Super Bowl than the Cowboys, which doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot of anything, but that's just what it is. And like I said, I don't know how they're doing this. I don't know how scientific it is, or they just poll some people. I don't know. State of Florida, which has multiple teams, the Bucks. The Cowboys do own Oklahoma and Arkansas, So the people of those two states are rooting for them. And then Buffalo takes New York. Though the Giants, okay, no one wants to admit they root for the Jets, so I get that part. But the Giants exist, and it is the Buffalo Bills. And the rest of it kind of makes sense. If you keep going northeast, the Patriots start to take over and stuff like that. But I don't know if it's a big surprise that more people are rooting for the Texans. Are the Cowboys, are they becoming more, if you ain't from the Fort Worth, Dallas area in the state, you're not for them? I can't imagine that's the case. Like I said, I don't know how they put this together. But DraftKings has it, and they think, or at least they're saying, that the Texans, at least people want them to win a Super Bowl more than they want the Cowboys. We'll see if those people get their wish. As we talked about last segment, there's a lot of responsibility on their quarterback and their offense to come along with the defense to get them there. But as far as actual bets are concerned, the Rams are getting the most bets. Clearly, they've done a lot this offseason. They were maybe a stop or two away last year from making Super Bowl and likely beating the Patriots. Now with the additions of McDuffie, Garrett, added another cornerback in Watson, and then they topped it off by bringing back Aaron Donald, who won't play on Thursday, by the way. If you missed it, Aaron Donald's not going to play. He stayed back in L.A. as he tries to get himself ready for NFL football, so they won't have their recently unretired superstar back with them as they play the 49ers. I mentioned that Alfred Collins got hurt earlier. He's a 49er defensive tackle who got hurt. Substation or no substation, the 49ers are going to lose guys' injuries. According to, it was a San Francisco guy, he pointed out that Alfred Collins played 64 or 65 games in college. So that guy was on the field all the time. He's going to miss an entire year in a second year. And then Ricky Pearsall, we know he's had different issues. Unfortunately, he was shot, and now he's going to miss the year. Across multiple schools, I think Arizona State and Florida, was on the field all the time. He gets the 49ers. The worst luck for him. So they be who they be. They won titles in the 80s and 90s. They've been a really good franchise the last decade or so. But if you want to throw a curse at them, I don't know if I believe in curses, but if you want to throw one of those words on the 49ers, you know what? Can't fight you. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Football is football. Injuries happen, but they seem to happen to them in a way that suggests, hey, that substation thing might not be real. But what deal did Kyle Shanahan make with a particular entity that resides below?
Well, he didn't win, so I mean.
Below. Yeah. Well, see, the much like the movie Obsession and The Wishing Willow, you got to be very specific about what you wish for.
True.
I don't know what Kyle Shanahan wished for to make him one of the more talked about and respected NFL geniuses on offense, but apparently there comes a cost. And the cost is, no matter how great you are dialing up plays and creating an offense, you can't fight off injuries no matter how good you are. Look, you can have Mac Jones out there and win a couple games, but the injuries will catch up to you like they did last year, and they're already starting again this year. But hey, maybe Alfred Collins suffered for George Kittle.
Have you seen Shanahan's interviews recently, like his mustache and stuff?
I heard him talk about the time change and how it's confusing, but I haven't seen the mustache yet.
Just going to say, one can make the case that he's trying to grow a Hitler.
That, by the way, that's the bet that AJ and John Granato have. If the Texans win, AJ has to shave his mustache to remind you of a certain leader from Austria who ran Germany. Or you can go, hey, I'm pulling the Jordan. I don't know how you want to play that if it happens to you. And if the Cowboys win, then John has to rock the mustache. If you've seen John recently, he's got a beard. He's got to shave that thing down. Yeah, I pulled up image of Kyle Shanahan. It's a little startling,
right,
that he decided just to go with the thick mustache with everywhere else is 5 o'clock shadow. I wonder, like, some guys have off-season haircuts. I wonder if this is off-season facial hair, because does he want to, like, not everyone is taking in 49er press conferences, so I, like I said, I didn't know what he looked like. Once he's on Netflix tomorrow, does that mustache disappear? And he goes back to, like, I got to look at him and see if there's enough beard there so he can trim that mustache down and get back to what he normally looks like.
Right.
I don't know if maybe he has a personal barber. I don't know if he brought him with him to Australia. I mean, maybe with all those guys who can't play, maybe you got a seat on the plane for a barber. I don't know. But it's interesting. We'll see him in his flat brim hat. We'll see if the mustache remains out there. You know what? Do what you like. You've had a really weird offseason. If you want to get weirder with that mustache, by all means, go ahead. It's a nice shout by you, because I'm looking at it now and I can't stop looking at it. Man's got a caterpillar under his nose. We'll see if it remains throughout the season. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go here. AJ and I will take you to noon. And then if you're out and about and you want to have lunch, go out to the next place, because the rest of the lineup will be out there. Not Rich Eisen. He won't be with us today. We're going to have the bullpen out there. The guys who do the Saturday show will be out there. That's why you don't hear Sean with me right now. And then you'll have Jeremy and Joe. So they'll take you from 12 to 6 out at Nick's place. Just lead you right in to game one of the NFL season. So go out there, get yourself a pizza or something else, and then hang out with the guys, and then watch Patriots, Seahawks at Nick's. Enjoy the pizza, the environment that Nick's has to offer, and enjoy the NFL season beginning. So that's the lineup for the rest of the day. We got one more segment to go. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Michael Carroll is the voice of the show that you hear, the one that brings us back from every break. He'll join us on Friday, and he saw another movie. This time, he saw what was not a Robin Hood story, then became a Robin Hood story, now kind of isn't a Robin Hood story anymore. The Uprising with Andrew Garfield. For like a day or two, they were setting it up as the true story of Robin Hood. And then I think they backed away from that marketing. He got to see it. He gave Andrew Garfield Spidey 3, I believe, in the Sony Marvel Universe. He gave Andrew Garfield a really good review. And I think he, from what I can tell, I think he likes the movie. So maybe he didn't need all that Robin Hood stuff to try to get people interested. We'll hear from Michael more about that on Friday on the show. Comicast is tonight as well. It is on after Hall of Fame. So if you want to hear more in-depth stuff from Michael Carroll, more than the 30 or so minutes he joins us for on Fridays, you can listen to that. He has Jong Lee as a co-host, and they have special guests for pretty much every issue, particularly if there's a big thing going on in the world of kind of nerd culture, pop culture. So Michael Carroll, host of Comicast, he'll join us on Friday. I don't know how tough Michael's questions are for his guest, but I imagine he never got anyone as upset as Dabo Sweeney was. Dabo did that whole down home, aw shuck stuff, but you could tell he was a little upset. Dabo is the other side of the LSU beatdown. LSU getting a lot of credit for what they did. We'll see if that was real or Clemson's just a real disaster. But Dabo was asked by the Clemson area media about his roster construction. It's a giant story in college football. Dabo's unwillingness to change. Now, he does have more transfers than he's had in the past. They didn't play to a level that Clemson certainly believes is their standard in Death Valley on Saturday night. Here's Dabo in response to a question about whether he has regrets on his roster construction.
Chapel, you come with all these questions. I tell you, you're the gotcha guy. No, I don't. I don't, man. I regret being 0-1 right now. I regret that. But no, what can you ask me that at the end of the season? You know, the season ain't over. I mean, we got one game, we got 11 more. What if we go 11-1? You promised me you asked me that, Dan? Yeah. Okay, good. I'll answer it, all right? But I'm not answering questions like that, you know, Chapel. I know that's your role, and that's in this environment, you know, to be the guy that wants to create all the controversy and ask the controversial questions. If that's who you are, that's fine. I get it. But I'll answer that in the seat. We played one game. One game. All right? Did you play football?
No.
Okay. Well, they give you 12 games. And at the end of the year, you count them up. All right? And you know, that's when those type of questions are fair to me. You know, not after one game. To maybe the best team in the country. Maybe the best team in the country. All right? Now, other people have good teams and coaches and things like that, too. So I give them credit. We got 11 more games to go battle. And we'll count them up. Then you can ask me whatever question you want.
I don't know if I need to play football, which I have, so you can pull that with me. Not on the college level, certainly. So maybe he would still have a superiority in that regard over me. But I still know they're 12 games. I'm sure Chapel does too. I wish it was Chapel Roan who asked the question, but it isn't. Under all of that aw shucks demeanor, that man's feeling the pressure. And Dabo once said if college football started feeling like the NFL, he would just quit. And while he is getting crushed because of his lack of, or at least his unwillingness to adapt to how the game is going now, particularly when it comes to roster construction, I believe some of that NFL stuff has to do with, if I can't be the chief of this little fiefdom and people start to question me, that's another reason for him to walk away. Because that's, maybe you have a problem with him using the word regret, because that's what the question entailed from Chapel. But if he would have said, did Saturday night's game give you any pause or maybe question some of the things you did this offseason to put this team together? Does he still react the same? Probably, because he's sensitive right now. And I don't know if LSU is the best team in the country, but they were not even a top 10 team coming in. Now, you could be wrong. There have been teams who came from outside the top 10 to win the national title. But Clemson did a lot to make LSU look that way. You don't have to trust me. Find anyone who watches film, or at least is making that their way of trying to gain some attention online, and they will tell you the flaws in Clemson's plan, from blocking, from pass protection setups, asking guards to come across the formation and block a defensive end who didn't get chipped, things like that. They are getting after Chad Morris, his hire this offseason. So I don't know how good LSU is, but I do know Clemson didn't make them prove it. When the head coach of the other team says, yeah, I thought we would beat them 35-7, 35-10, but they're more dysfunctional than I thought. Our scout team offense put up more points. Those are things that tell you that whatever LSU is going to be this year, Clemson was a bigger problem on the field on Saturday than LSU was good. Like I said, that's just NC State dressed up as Clemson, but more poorly coached. That's all that was. Look, I know that Tiger Paw still means stuff to people, but they look like Wake Forest out there. And if LSU did that to Wake Forest, would everyone be losing their minds? No. And yes, I will admit, Clemson will get better players than Wake Forest, but you still got to be coached well. You still got to have a great game plan, a good one at least. And Wake Forest, the current version of them, doesn't get beat the way that Clemson did. Not many Power Four schools get beat the way Clemson did last night, or excuse me, Saturday night. And that ain't all about LSU. That's about the rot in the Clemson program that Dabo has failed to clean out. And that's maybe because he's the rot. At a certain point, it's over for you. And he's a little bit younger than some of the other guys who have watched the game pass them by. But don't rule it out that the game moved too quickly for Dabo to adapt. And it went back to old standbys like Chad Morris because he was part of the ascension of Clemson football. And Chad Morris, since leaving Clemson, it's been failure after failure. And Dabo went back to him, and you got what you got last night. And that's not even talking about the defense and their issues. All right, we're done for the day. Shout out to Chapel. You're that guy. The gotcha guy. No, he just asked you a question. You know what you got to do? Put a better product on the field. It's $57 million for that buyout, though. So does Clemson have the appetite for that? They may if they keep getting embarrassed. They have Georgia Southern coming up. They should be okay. But one of the Georgia Southern players was asked about Clemson after watching film. He goes, you know, we got some things we can do. So we'll see how that works out as Clemson tries to bounce back. All right. We are now done. The bullpen's up next from Nick's Place.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. I just love the fall season. Crisp mornings, pumpkin spice latte, and it's the best time to cozy up and play Spin Quest. They have over 1,000 different slots in all my favorite casino style games. And they're running a deal for all new players, a $30 coin package for just $10. So this fall, grab your favorite blanket, visit spinquest.com, and download the app today.
Spin Quest is a free to play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.